Hello, Husky Nation. Mike Martin with Real Dog Radio coming to you on a Monday night, a very busy weekend. We're going to recap that for you. With me, though, is Trevor Mueller and Jefferson Freeman. And this is going to be Jefferson's first time doing one of these shows with us, Trevor. So we're going to kind of give him a little bit of a soft landing with kind of a softball question. Jefferson, what is your most enduring memory of the 2023 season?
I'm gonna go Sugar Bowl. I think that's an easy pick. I didn't get to make the game, but we had a big party with actually all my teammates at my house. And so watching that, the last play breakup was an up or down and then an up, but that was probably the happiest I was all year.
That's such an iconic image right up there, Trevor, with the one by Byron Murphy in the Apple Cup in was the 2018 in that Snow Bowl. Does that kind of for you, just is that kind of right up there, or what is yours?
I mean, obviously it's going to be up there. That was the biggest play of the season that propelled Washington to a Sugar Bowl win. And, leading up to that game, it was a lot about, Washington being the underdog, being the number two seed. So definitely an iconic scene, an iconic game, and really a culmination of the last year and a half of that winning streak. So hard to say anything other than that. I think though the enduring memory for me is just the grit of the roster from Penix and Rome all the way to the defense making stops when they needed to, picking each other up when the other unit is down, making up for mistakes and refusing to lose throughout that really tough stretch after the Oregon game, into the USC game and then obviously the Pac-12 championship. So I think it's just an overall the moxie of this program, starting at the leadership of Michael Penix and Rome Odunze.
Yeah, and for me, it's those moments that are off script. The sort of you always felt like that something was going to happen in that Arizona State game that Washington was going to come back and win, and you just felt like so many times that things were going to happen. But for me, it was that off script play where everybody, and it should have been the Heisman moment. There in USC,
Yes.
where Michael Penix spun out, and he found Devin Culp, and to have a guy like Devin Culp, a guy that we've gotten to know on a personal level on these shows, and to know his struggle and to know his story and to know the darts that have been thrown his way. And to have him have that iconic moment, for me, it's really the Sugar Bowl one is right there, 1B. But for me, this is 1A, that Devin Culp in the end zone thing. I know what it means to him. I know what it means to his family. And it was completely off script, completely unexpected.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable play.
All right. Well, there's a good soft landing for you, Jefferson. We're going to talk a little bit about the Huskies' new head coach, Jed Fish. And when he came in, he said he wanted to be known as a maniacal recruiter. I don't know if those are his exact words, but we're getting a taste of it. I think we got a little bit lazy under maybe Chris Peterson, Jimmy Lake, Kalen DeBoer. Chris Peterson had his OKGs. Hate to use that anymore, but he didn't send out a whole lot of offers, sent out like the fifth fewest in the country. But now, Jefferson, how many offers do you think the Huskies have given out since Jed Fish put his button down in that seat?
I think in the, I mean, the couple weeks we're probably sitting between 50, maybe even above 60 now for, I mean, that's just high school players too.
Yeah,
And
not even including the transfer portal and
not,
guys that
yeah.
he needs and guys that he needed to bring back to the roster. But yeah, I counted 48 in your tracker. But I know that over the last few days, there's been 8, 9, 10. There was just another one just as we're sitting down. There was
I'm
another one that went
serious.
out. There's another one that just went out to Justin Ilkema. I'm gonna butcher the name, but he's a massive offensive tackle, 6'8", in the 325 range. So I mean, it doesn't matter day or night. Jedfish is living up to that reputation, Trevor, of being that maniacal recruiter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how many are going out. And you know, it's former players getting reoffered from the DeBoer era. It's guys from that are decommitting from Arizona, and then it's, you know, hitting those 2025 kids trying to figure out, you know, what this roster is going to look like after year one of Jed Fish.
Yeah, and you know, over the weekend he did a pretty good job recruiting some of those guys back to Washington. You know, Tybo Rogers. I talked to Rashawn Sheehy yesterday, and Rashawn said that Jed Fish reached out to him personally and said, "We'd really like you to come back." So you know, the one thing that I have heard from so many of these players is that the coaches are involved. Or excuse me, Jed Fish is involved with the coaches in recruiting these players. Yeah, it might be Coach Rich that sends it out. It might be Coach Carroll that sends it out, but it's gonna be backed up with a text, a call, some sort of connection with Jed Fish. And I really like how he is. Trevor, you probably remember the tweet that said he's 95% the play caller of DeBoer and 583% of the recruiter of Kalen DeBoer, and he's definitely living up to that.
Yeah, it's really good to see somebody who comes in and you see the local coaches and the trainers around talk about how he's bringing a lot of that juice kind of back to the University of Washington. And you know, there's a lot of mud that's been slung around about Kalen DeBoer, and I'm kind of over all of that. The reality is he did create some genuine relationships. But there was an issue with closing. And I think when you have somebody with the energy level, with the understanding of the job like Jed Fish, backing that up with the years of NFL experience, being genuine, being real with grown men about the sport, it translates really well coming down and doing the high school recruiting and the transfer portal as well.
Yeah, and at least having to kind of rebuild Jefferson, that the back end of the Washington defense, got some pretty good commits over the weekend. Tell us a little bit about those guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he had a big job with a lot of the departures, but he's done a really good job so far in bringing that Arizona secondary up north. He's brought in Shaw, was one of the new guys. I think it's Efesin Presok, if I'm getting that right.
Ephesians press.
And so
Ephesians.
if
We have a heathen. We have a heathen among us, Trevor.
yeah, it's biblical.
Ephesians press.
Ephesians, wow. Bad then, but then also in the 2024 class, he's bringing I think five or six offers to what will who will be freshmen in the coming year. So he's done a good job of filling the holes that are left, and I think keeping some guys home. I think Dyson McCutcheon was the kid went in the portal, and Fish brought him back, and so it's good to see him be able to do that.
And speaking of guys coming back, Trevor, talk about some of these guys that have come back. Landon Hatchett, oh, of course, Rogers, the other Rogers, Tybo Rogers, and Will Rogers. You know, he's done a really good job of re-recruiting the roster.
You can even go down immediately once he got hired to Caleb Presley, who was all in on it right from the beginning. And I think really spearheaded some of the energy around guys coming back. You know, some of those guys that you mentioned, who knows where they would have ended up. Tybo has some tape. Somebody like Dyson McCutcheon, who I think I really, really liked him in 2021 when he came out. Still hasn't gotten a ton of tape yet for coaches to look at. I feel like he's comfortable here. I thought that was a really good decision to stay, and I think that probably Fish and the defensive coaching staff that is here probably talk to him about maybe a role going forward in his last few years of eligibility. But the one that really started, a guy who played a ton and really got a lot of that good vibes momentum going after a lot of the departures, was Cameron Fibikulanen. And I thought that was as big as it gets. A guy who's going to be looked at now as a starter with Asa Turner gone. He's going to be a big playmaker in the secondary and on the defense in general going forward in 2024. So getting him in the boat, getting him locked in, getting him bought into their system, I think that's when it felt like the good vibes really started rolling back at Montlake.
Yeah, and then Jonah Coleman was really kind of a big name that really kind of got, I mean, the dude's a bowling ball, so he got the ball rolling. And man, when that dude gains a head of steam, look out. The thing that he really kind of we were seeing, we're like, who are they going to have as running backs? And done a great job of rebuilding that room, rebuilding the quarterback room. Give us just sort of your overall impressions of both of those positions.
The running back room and what?
Quarterback.
Oh, quarterback. Oh, quarterback's in a really good spot now. You got Will Rogers, obviously, who's recommitted to Washington. I think that's a massive deal because then you got Damon Williams Jr. and Demarcarius Davis as guys who are going to be young and super talented. They're one of them's going to get an opportunity to start as a redshirt freshman if something else doesn't come in, or if they don't get another big transfer in. Looking at both of those guys, their game translates so well to the Fish offense because they're both really, really athletic. They can move, but they have really, really good arms where they're looking to. They're more explosive athletically than Michael Penix was these last couple of years, but they look like Penix downfield. So I think the quarterback room's in a great place, and then the running back room went from, we saw the national championship where. Whether it was injuries or lack of use, Dylan Johnson being hurt was a huge reason why Washington walked out of there with the loss. He looked slow, he looked injured, he wasn't getting the same explosiveness, and there really wasn't anything behind him most of the year that was getting any of those reps down the stretch, and it showed. And now you have Jonah Coleman and Cam Davis leading the charge. Then you have Tybo. And then, oh, I'm spacing on the other kid who transferred from Arizona, the freshman.
Yeah, well, but that big three, the thing that I
Right.
like about those big three is that they're not the same type of back. They do a lot of things, but we can't even forget about Daniel Nagata. He can do a lot of things out in the kick returns, punt returns,
Well, it'd
running,
be nice to
catching.
see if this coaching staff will use him to what he can do, because he was only used as a returner where he was a 4-star guy and he was the number two back in Arizona State for quite a while, and he just got buried on the depth chart. And whether that's his inability to catch the ball that the previous coaching staff put such a premium on, or whatever was it, pass protection, I'm not sure. He was never able to get really many carries outside of blowouts. I'm curious to see what he looks like, because those top two, while they're different, they're both NFL style lion share running backs. And so, those top two specifically, I think are gonna.
What does that national championship game look like with a healthy Dylan Johnson and a healthy Cam Davis? Think about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's yeah, there's if you have a healthy Cam Davis to go along with the Dylan Johnson throughout the year, you're probably not having the same issues offensively when the sickness went through the team and whatever else was going on with receivers being down. Having that 1-2 punch would have been huge, and having a healthy Dylan Johnson in the game against Michigan, I think would maybe turn some tides.
All right, we're going to look forward a little bit to some of the offers that have gone out. You have Two guys played for a national championship. They're Bishop Gorman, defensive lineman. One's name is Prince, one's name is Tank, and the offers have continued to roll out tonight. Trevor Jefferson, did you hear about that meeting that Jed Fish had with the team yesterday? Excuse me, with the former players yesterday?
No, yeah, I heard about it. It sounded like the energy around the program is really continuing. I thought Kalen DeBoer did a really, really good job of bringing in former players back into the Husky family and really feeling that sense of togetherness. And I'm not going to blame Coach Lake because of a lot of the issues around COVID restrictions really made it hard for him to find ways to incorporate some of those players back in. But even, going back to the Sugar Bowl, when DeBoer said, I'm a part of Husky history, but, so is, we're not here without a Steve Sarkisian. And I feel like that started some of the re in integrating players from past coaching staffs. And I think Jed Fish understands the reality of that. As someone who coached in the NFL, where when coaches leave, the players are still there. And so the fabric of Husky history really isn't necessarily within the coaches as much as the guys that are wearing the helmets. And I think that he's in tune with that. Everybody that we talked, you and I were with Isaiah Standback, and he talked about how genuine of a guy he is. So if he's able to show that and have that charisma and that genuineness reaching out to former players, regardless of what coaching staff they were under, I could see how this could just continue to grow, where you're seeing former Huskies on the sidelines, not just at the Sugar Bowl, but, at a game in October.
Yeah, and I tell you, just going back to just a side note on the Sugar Bowl. For me, one of the coolest things I've ever had happen to me is as I'm walking around on the field on the Sugar Bowl, I'd hear someone yelling out my name, and I look up, and it's this Husky legend that I've done a story on. It's this other Husky legend. There were probably 10 or so former players that yelled down at me. I was like, "Hey, come over here and we'll talk." And so I know how much this program means to those guys. They feel re-energized. And Jed Fish, he's breathed, I think, a lot of life into those players, and really kind of is working on trying to build upon that. I know we've gone through a sag of about 2 weeks, but I think the right guy is in charge, and he's doing the right things of getting through over 100 players on that Zoom meeting. I've had probably seven or eight reach out to me, and just there were several times when he could have literally just dropped the mic and walked away, but he came up with more fire, and he said that they said that it was just a great time, and it feels so good to be welcomed back to Husky football. So he produced a lot of energy with a lot of guys that really are just have put themselves on the line for this. One final thing that I want to talk about. I went behind the scenes with Caleb Presley. And he and I talked about, I had a really good interview with him, and I hope to have that. If there wouldn't be so many of these offers going out, I could get some other things done. But he and I talked for a good 15 minutes about the behind the scenes of how he was able to keep a lot of the younger guys in there and the conversations that he had with those players and the conversations that he had with some of the players that were leaving. And the one thing that I really drew from all of that was where he said that it was really sort of a changing of the guard, where a couple of players said, "Hey, This is your team now. This is your opportunity to create the legacy. We understand our legacy. We understand our place in Husky history. Go out and make yours. And it put a lot of pride into what Caleb was doing. And it was really kind of a cool pride moment for him to go, yeah, this is our time. So it's great interview coming up on that.
Yeah, looking
Final
forward
thought,
to it.
Trevor.
I love Caleb Presley. I was so happy when he decided to, and I know Caleb on a personal level. I've called one of his games. I've talked to him many times. A guy who, flipped from Oregon, very Buda Baker-esque in that sense. And I just really love to see him cement himself as a Husky legend.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on the whole recruiting thing? All these commits. First impression on Jetfish?
First impression, he's knocking it out of the park. Having my head spin, I got too many things in the fire to write all these articles that I need to write, but I'll get to them eventually.
All right, Trevor. Excuse me, Jefferson. Do you have your microphone out of the water? Just real quick, we'll roll with it. Just your sort of final thought on where we are over the last couple of weeks.
It's looking great, I think, compared to where we were a couple weeks ago when DeBoer left with a lot of guys leaving. I think Fish has done a great job bringing guys in from Arizona out of high school. It's really still looking like a good time to be a Husky right now, so I'm pretty excited.
All right. Well, that will do it for us for Real Dog Radio, season one, version one, the redo. That is Trevor Mueller. The other one is Jefferson Freeman. I'm Mike Martin. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs. Husky Nation, it's the end of the third quarter. Are you looking for the perfect tequila for your next get together? The answer is Born from a Hero, Hero de Leon, direct from the prestigious Murguía family just outside Guadalajara, honoring their great grandfather who saved Mexico from a horrible civil war. It's authentic, courageous, with great integrity, just like the general. Enjoy the smoothest Blanco tequila you've ever tasted, or the rich flavor of our Reposado, aged for 7 months in American bourbon barrels. Or the ultimate tequila, our Añejo, which is aged for 18 months in the same bourbon oak barrels. Go to your favorite liquor retailer or restaurant and ask for Hero de Leon, because it's always the end of the third quarter. Imported by Zombie Beverages, Mercer Island, Washington.